Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are in time for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives. We're going to be focusing again on communicating from a biblical perspective. And the focus will be how we can see some comparisons, maybe some contrasts, but definitely some comparisons between how we learn to communicate with each other and how that might set us up to communicate effectively or ineffectively with God, just depending on how we take the communication. But before we get into the discussion, I know that some of you realize that sometimes we just need to be energized. Let's let Minister Timothy Wright help us with this song entitled, Who's on the Lord's Side?
Listen, you've been running and running, running for a long time. Your time is winding up, better make up your mind. Getting late in the evening, sun is going down. Better get right, while it may be found. I want to know where.
Yeah, we're going to have to hear some more of that. Who's on the Lord's side? If you are, stand up. And not just for the moment, but day after day, week after week, month after month, year in, year out, make sure you're taking your stand for the King, the great King, the Savior, the conquering warrior, the conquering King. Stand up, stand up. Now, sometimes, don't get me wrong, I know that we're not always going to feel like taking a mighty stand, because sometimes, if we'll just be honest, we feel a little beat down. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be ashamed to admit that, and don't be reluctant to admit it. Remember what I shared with you some time ago. Some of the confessions admissions, whatever word you want to use, that Paul made about how he had been struck down, beaten, left for dead, hungry, cold, naked, but never out for the count. That's the key. No matter how bad it gets, make sure you know you are not out for the count. God will give you strength to get back up and start moving again on the Lord's side. Now, in the meantime, what will we sometimes find ourselves doing while we're regaining our strength to get back up? Sometimes we have to cry out. And I'm talking about cry out to God. And I want to encourage you, when you cry out to God, try not to expend a lot of energy crying out in self-pity. Self-pity can drain us of our energy. It can sap us of our strength. No, not so much self-pity as just letting God know, I need you. I've got to have your help. Lord, I need you. And don't be reluctant to let your emotion be a part of that cry. That's what makes it a cry. It's not just words, like you're reciting a poem. You are crying out. for real, crying out, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this, coming from Job 34. Job 34, beginning at verse 21. Listen to this now. You're going to hear about somebody really having a hard time. But God is right there. Listen. His eyes are on the ways of men. He sees their every step. There is no dark place, no deep shadow where evildoers can hide. Let me just point this out now. There are a lot of folks who have their minds made up. They're going to do their dirt. And they're going to be so slick about it. They're going to be so cunning about it that God isn't going to see. He's not going to hear the conversations that they have as they have their discussions about which one of them is going to hang out to start tampering with this person's automobile so that they can invade privacy and do whatever else it is that they want to do as they tamper with that automobile. Are you going to stay inside, and or rather, you going to go on inside and I stay out here, hang out a little bit longer until he gets out of the car and goes inside? And once he's in there, you go ahead and you do what needs to be done, or do you want me to stay out? And since they both already know that that's the plan, to tamper with that automobile, they really don't even need to go to each other to have the discussion. They just look at each other from a distance, make a little few gestures with the hands. One of them nods, and they understand. You go on in, and I'll stay out. And once he's in there, I'll get to his car. I'll do what needs to be done to the car. And God is fully aware of all of that evil. His eyes are on the ways of men. He sees their every step. There is no dark place, no deep shadow where evildoers can hide. God has no need to examine men further that they should come before him for judgment without inquiry. See, that's the thing we need to realize. When we go before the Lord God to stand before him, when he sits on his throne as our judge, it is not going to be, and I've said this to you before, ladies and gentlemen, it is not going to be like a trial that we're accustomed to observing when someone goes to court and questions are asked, information is presented, more questions are asked, and you have all these rebuttals, and someone gets a chance to get up and question the witness, and then someone comes, they have their counterpoints, their points and their counterpoints. It's not going to be like that. He will have already been examining us as we have been living. And he will have been taking the notes as we have lived. Whether we have diligently and consistently sought to live cleaner and cleaner lives, allowing the Spirit of God to give us more and more power to think clean, pure thoughts, to develop more and more of a habit of having clean, pure desires. And he's recording all of that. I want to help this person just because I want to help. I'm not interested in getting anything back from them. I just want to help. And he's recording that. The opportunities that we take to make a play for someone else's spouse so we can have sex with them. If we fail in our effort, he still records that an effort was made. And when we stand before him, he's going to bring that up. He's not going to ask any questions. Is this what you were trying to do? No, he knows what we were trying to do. He knows our thoughts, our motives better than we do. He's not going to be asking any questions. Without inquiry. Remember again, verse 23, Job 34, verse 23. God has no need to examine men further, that they should come before him for judgment. Without inquiry, he shatters the mighty and sets up others in their place. Sometimes God, in fact, very often, God's judgment takes place right here on this earth in this temporary phase of life. And some people are brought down and folks don't understand why. Why is this happening to so-and-so? Why did that happen to so-and-so? God judging and showing his judgment. And because people convince themselves so mightily that God does not see. He doesn't see our evil. He doesn't see our evil. He's not aware of our wicked plots against his servant, against his child. He's not aware of any of that. When we go out there tampering with the automobiles, he's not aware of it. When we go to someone and slander his special child to someone so that we can sow discord, God's not aware of any of that. Don't kid yourself. You need to stop fooling yourselves. And then we see people going through some really, really tough times. I mean, they are really, really having a hard time. Sometimes it's simply because God is purifying us through the tough times. But at other times, God is judging us because of sin. And it is so amazing that people can see judgment being handed down and ignore that reality because it's happening to someone that they really, really care about. Without inquiry, stay with me now because we're going to get to the crying part of this. But pick up on what's happening here. Evil people doing evil things. And remember, there are a lot of evil people who go to church every week. There are a lot of evil people who do a lot of praying. There are a lot of evil people who lead songs of worship. Without inquiry, he shatters the mighty and sets up others in their place. Because he takes note of their deeds, he overthrows them in the night and they are crushed. He punishes them for their wickedness where everyone can see them. So often, God is punishing people for ongoing wickedness that they would not turn away from, that they refuse to stop committing. And God says, enough is enough. I gave this person plenty of time to repent. They refused. And so now I'm going to punish them. He punishes them for their wickedness where everyone can see them because they turned from following him and had no regard for any of his ways. They caused the cry of the poor to come before him so that he heard the cry of the needy. You're poor, you're needy, you're being oppressed. Don't think that you're doing wrong by getting to a point where you are so stressed, you are so bothered, so troubled, so distressed by what's going on in your life, that you have just got to let that anguish out. You've got to release that anguish from your soul and cry out to God, God, I need your help. They won't let me do better. They keep pushing me down, pushing me down. And there are people who have the power to push others down. And God sees that. They caused the cry of the poor to come before him so that he heard the cry of the needy. But if he remains silent, who can condemn him? If he hides his face, who can see him? Yet he is over man and nation alike to keep a godless man from ruling, from laying snares for the people. And that is just the way it works some of the time. Because we see it, as we're seeing now, that there are times when, for his purposes, God allows the wicked to rule. Not a particularly good thing, is it?
If you see somebody around you look like they might be down, you know what I want you to tell them? Get up! Come on, what? Get
up! Yes, indeed. God will hear the cry of the poor, the needy, the oppressed, and at the appointed time, he will rise up and intervene. Stay with me.